Arise, Jerusalem, and look to the east, and see your children gathered from the rising to the setting of the sun. Today is indeed a great feast, probably one of the greatest feasts of the liturgical year. Obviously, we've got in the first place the resurrection, Easter, and then right after that, Christmas, the Nativity, and then after that, Pentecost, the fulfillment of the Easter season, and then now we have the Epiphany, the fulfillment of the Christmas season. And it is fitting because Christmas happened in the night, in silence. There were very few witnesses when Christ was born. Only gradually did it became known. Likewise, at the resurrection, it happened at night in the silence, and there are very few witnesses there as well. What we needed was a gradual manifestation in a way that we could understand. And so Christ, after the resurrection, had Pentecost happen, in which finally everything was fully known. You had the mighty wind and the flames of fire and thousands of conversions that day. Likewise, today we have the Epiphany, when finally it is made known to the world that Christ, their King, is born. And it is made known to us in several different ways. It's kind of a triple feast. First off, is the kind of the primary one, the Magi coming to adore the Lord, the first Gentiles to recognize Christ. Also, we commemorate the baptism of the Lord, when the Holy Trinity was manifest to us, God the Father's voice speaking, and the Holy Spirit descending as a dove over Christ in the waters. And finally, his first miracle at the wedding feast at Cana, in which is manifest his glory when in turning the water into wine. In this way, God comes to us. He doesn't just show up, say hi, and leave. He stays with us and works with us so that we can understand him more and more, better and better. Yet this is something that the Magi didn't need. They, in faith, followed that star and found our Lord and adored him. The translation in our lectionary is kind of unfortunate, and did him homage. The Greek makes it clear, they adored him, they worshiped him as God. And so we, too, must do the same. For the Magi, after this experience, were changed forever. They were transformed from within. At the baptism of the Lord, God transformed creation by sanctifying it. And at the wedding feast at Cana, Christ our God transformed water into wine. Likewise, we are to be transformed by Christ. It's not just him covering us with his grace, but we remain unchanged. Rather, there is a change that occurs, because once we experience Christ and his greatness, we can't go back. Our life as Christians is now changed forever, and therefore, we are able to proclaim to the world that Christ is our King. And that is what we need to do during this year. We are thankful for a new year, and we're very hopeful. We hope and pray that it'll be a great year. One of great graces, and one that will bring about much comfort and conversion to people. And so we need to manifest Christ to the world, to be like the Magi, and going out of our way to adore him and to point others to him, so that we can be increasing the great fold of our Lord. The Magi are significant in being the first Gentiles. Very few of us are of Jewish descent, so we are thankful that in the New Testament, God made it clear that salvation is open for everyone. And we rejoice with the Magi. We rejoice with all of the saints and angels today in proclaiming our Lord is born and is adored in our world. They came from everywhere. From Midian, from Ephah, from Sheba, from Seba, from Tarshish, from Arabia, Likewise, the entire world is to be transformed by God, and we must do our part. In living as Christians, it is impossible for the world not to catch on, for the world not to take notice. Let this be the year that that happens, that the world finds Christ and is transformed by him. We wish you a great and blessed new year, and may this be a year of great growth, of great graces, as we always adore our Lord in the crib, on the cross, and the glorious King of Heaven.